We're going to start in Psalm 19. We'll be in a few places tonight, but if you want to start there, the 19th Psalm. When E.F. Hutton speaks, everybody listens, or people listen. How did you know to say that? There's some people in here that don't even know who E.F. Hutton was. Actually, that's from an infamous commercial or advertisement slogan. E.F. Hutton was a brokerage firm. They'd been around a long time. Then they went under. Then I think they were bought out by Morgan Stanley. But that was their slogan and their commercial. When E.F. Hutton speaks, people listen. Well, when God speaks, people ought to listen, but so often do not. Isn't that the truth? Yeah. And that includes unbelievers and believers alike. Not just unbelievers, but believers as well. But make no mistake, God does speak. He absolutely does. In regards to his word, here, the scriptures, I guess we would say that God has spoken, right? Does God still speak at all in any way now that the Bible is written? Yes, he does. Yes, he does. Anytime God speaks, we call it revelation. God reveals himself. So let's consider, first of all, number one, the significance of divine revelation. And by divine, I just mean God's talking. I'm not talking. You're not talking. Kid in the back row of the church is not talking. We're talking about when God has something to say. That's divine revelation. Okay? Now, revelation from God is not God telling me what I want to know. That's not revelation. God doesn't make promises to tell me whatever it is I want to know. He's not a genie in a bottle. I rub him and ask what I want, he tells me. Remember that there are two approaches to Scripture. There's two approaches to coming to the Bible. One approach is I approach Scripture with my preconceived ideas, and then I make the Scripture fit those ideas. Right? In other words, I make the Bible say what I want it to say. That's not divine revelation. The other approach is I approach Scripture with an open mind and allow Scripture to formulate my ideas. In other words, I'm the moldable one, not the Word. See, that's me listening, God talking. And when God talks, you have divine revelation. So here's a working definition of divine revelation. Okay? Working definition. Divine revelation is God telling me what he wants me to know. He tells me what he wants me to know. See, if God doesn't want me to know it, guess what? I'm not going to figure it out. God never smites his forehead and says, oh man, I was hoping you wouldn't learn that. Whenever you were kids, did you ever discover your Christmas present in a closet? When you're a parent, your kids do that, you just want to strangle them, don't you? You can't do that to God. You're never going to discover a closet that he forgot to lock and learn something that he didn't want you to learn. Never going to happen, okay? When you learn something from God, it's because God revealed it. He wants you to know it. I once heard a preacher say, if I can ask the question, then I can find the answer. That seems rather arrogant to me. Job asked a question and he never got the answer. In fact, what he got was a big long rebuke. Job knew that he had not done anything to deserve this. Well, he hadn't done anything sinful to deserve all this trouble. It wasn't a judgment, and he knew that. His friends didn't know that, but he did. He just didn't know why he was going through all this hard time. These hard things. And he put God on the stand. He put God really on trial. So I demand, you tell me what this is all about. And God said, who in the world are you to to ask me anything about what I do. You know, God never answered his question. See, Job wasn't privy to what you and I are privy to. He never knew about that conversation between God and Satan. We do, but he didn't. You know anything about that? And never did God answer his question. Listen, just because I can ask a question does not mean that I can find the answer. I got a lot of questions that God's not answering. I want to know when Jesus is coming back. I would really, that would help my calendar a lot. If he would just give me that date. He's not going to do it. And he told me he's not going to do it. And he said, if anybody tries to set it, they don't listen to him. They don't know what they're talking about. I want to know how the Trinity works. I understand what it is. I don't know how it works. He won't tell me. I'm not having any visions. I'm not having any dreams. And I can't find the passage that explains the mechanics of the wonderful relationship of Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. You're not telling me. In fact, I have a lot of questions. I bet you do too. But just because we ask them doesn't mean God's going to answer them. What God does want me to know, well, that he will tell me. I think the real question is, when God tells me, do I listen? And you know, that's the sad part. There are things that God wants us to know, and in fact has told us in his word, people aren't listening. They're not listening. When I was in, I think it was sixth grade, might have been seventh grade, had a substitute teacher. He was a man. And I think it was before class, because sitting in class, it was just a substitute teacher, me, and Eddie Calderon. Eddie Calderon was another Hispanic, except he was 100% Latino. And the teacher, he was Caucasian, but he loved Mexican food. And he started asking Eddie, he said, now, does your mom, does she cook Mexican food? Oh, yeah, you know, I come from a Mexican family. And the teacher was really interested in that. He says, does she cook these or does she make her own tortilla? Oh, yeah, he does that. Well, I'm half Mexican. My dad's side is all Latino, all Hispanic. So I said, yeah, my grandma actually makes her own tortilla, and he cut me off and ignored me and went back to Eddie. Well, I mean, I'm a white kid. Okay. I tried to tell him, my dad's side of the family's Mexican, and every time he would ask Eddie about something, and Eddie would start to answer, and then he would answer, and then I would say, yeah, my grandma also, and the teacher would cut me off. Eddie started to laugh. After class, Eddie caught up with me, and he was cracking up. He said, man, he didn't believe you were Mexican at all. He wasn't going to listen to anything you had to say. No kidding, man. And this is exactly, I think, what we do to the Lord. People do this all the time. God has something very important to say, and he knows what he's talking about. People aren't listening. They're cutting him off, and they're getting distracted with other things that really just don't matter. It amazes me what sidetracks people. It amazes me what sidetracks us Christians. Things that don't matter and pulls us away from the things that do. And God's speaking and people aren't listening. Let me give you a formal definition of divine revelation. I gave you a working one. Here's a formal one. Revelation is God's disclosure to man of what man otherwise could not know. It's his disclosure to man of what man otherwise could not know. The things that we know about the Lord, we know because of the Lord. Now you let that sink in a minute, and you think about what you know for sure about God Almighty, the Creator and Savior of this world. Think about just some of the things you know. The longer you have been walking with the Lord, the more you know, right? And you actually don't have to know the Lord all that long, and you start learning things that God has revealed. And you think about that. The things you know are incredible. You know things about God Almighty. You know things that you could not know God did not disclose them to you, and he has. Now, folks, that's knowledge. That's knowledge that will work for you. And that's knowledge that will work with you, not only in this life, but for all eternity. My goodness, we take that lightly. We have access to that knowledge on the shelves of a bookstore for just a few bucks. And you can buy this Bible and read it and grow in this knowledge. Now let me ask you, what is so important in your life that it's distracting you from what God has to say? There's important things in your life, I know that. But nothing is so important that you should push what God has to say aside. But even believers will do that. I've had believers tell me, in the face of whatever it was they were struggling with, whatever their trial was, God hasn't said anything about this matter, has he? There is nothing you will face in life that the Word of God isn't going to apply in some way, always. He has disclosed to you what you otherwise could not know. So that's the significance of divine revelation. Let's consider the modes of revelation. Number two, the modes of revelation. Because after all, in our scripture reading, Hebrews 1 says, God who at various times and notice in various ways or various modes spoke in time past to the fathers by the prophets, has in these last days spoken to us by his Son. So what are the modes of revelation? Well, first of all, you have what is known as general revelation. General. And general means exactly that. It doesn't get into real specifics when something is general. Okay? It's not particular. Yeah, general, yeah, particular. General revelation. There's just things that you can learn generally about the fact that there is a God Almighty, a creator, a superior being. And that general revelation that God speaks to us comes through a couple of different avenues. First of all, comes through creation itself. Creation is God speaking to us. This is why you can say God is still speaking to us. He speaks to us through creation. Just look around. Psalm 19 is one of those texts that teaches us that. First verse of Psalm 19, "The heavens declare the glory of God." Now, do you remember there are actually three heavens in Scripture? Okay, you've got the heaven, which is the abode of God. We can't see that, okay? If you can, you're done here on this earth, all right? Then you have the second heaven, the one in the middle, and that is the outer space, the universe, our solar system. Now, that we can see. You can see it just by going outside and looking, okay? Most of the time, except when it's cloudy. But you can see the heavens out there through the stars, the sun. And I'm looking forward to this complete lunar eclipse we got coming on April 8th. Okay, I hope it's not cloudy. And you're going to see some pretty phenomenal activity in the heavens. All right. And then you've also got the heavens of our immediate atmosphere, the clouds themselves, the airspace outside. Okay, and the psalmist is saying that those heavens that we can see, the atmosphere, the solar system, declares God's glory. How can it not? Somebody was just asking me the other day if in Minnesota had I ever seen the Northern Lights, and I never have. You have, haven't you, Naomi?
So, often,
yeah, you can see the Northern Lights from Minnesota, from that part of our nation. Man, boy, that's the power of God, huh? It says in verse 2, it's the firmament, or atmosphere, right here, shows his handiwork, and certainly does. Day unto day utters speech, and night unto night reveals knowledge. There is no speech nor language where their voice is not heard. Their line has gone out through all the earth, and their words to the end of the world. That God speaks through his creation. And throughout creation, people can hear God talking. People have come to know God through first realizing all of this around me was not created by man or this little idol that I worship. This was created by something much bigger. And that something or someone I want to know. And then, of course, Romans 1, you probably are familiar with that text as well. Romans 1, verse 18 says, "For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who suppress the truth in unrighteousness." And here's why God's wrath reveals itself. It says, "Because what may be known of God is made known or manifest in them." The very people that suppress the truth are displaying the truth of God himself just by being alive, just by existing. And it says in verse 9, "For God has shown it to them." God has spoken. He has shown revelation from himself in us, just in us being human beings. It says in verse 20, "For since the creation of the world," all the way back to Genesis 1, "his invisible attributes are clearly seen." Did you know that? You can see the things of God that you can't actually touch or see, but their existence show themselves through creation, such as the fact that he is all-powerful, right? He is almighty, that he is all-knowing. How can you at all study this earth or science to any degree without realizing whoever made this really knew what he was doing? He's got to know everything. You know Jacques Cousteau, the famous French explorer of the latter 20th century. I hope he got saved, because he was a typical evolutionist, all that stuff, you know. But he was an explorer. Mostly the depths of the sea is what he explored. His ship was the Calypso. And John Denver sang a song about that ship. Well, towards the end of his life, after a lifetime of exploration, Jacques Cousteau said, "I have seen so much." He said, "To study this earth and see the things I've seen, there has to be a God. Has to be a creator behind this. To say this just happened didn't make sense to a man who just opened his eyes and evidently opened his ears and listened to what God had to say through creation." It says in verse 20, "Even his eternal power and his Godhead, so that they," those who suppress the truth, "they're without excuse. Because although they knew God, they did not glorify him as God, nor were thankful, but became futile in their thoughts, and their foolish hearts were darkened." So from creation itself, God speaks of his deity, the fact that he is God, speaks of his eternal power, speaks of his Godhead, the fact that he is all-powerful. You know, we often say, after a really good Christian funeral, where the gospel has been made so clear, I've been to many of those, I suppose you have, and we often say after a funeral like that, you know, anybody there that didn't know the Lord, they got no excuse now. Right? Have you ever said that? But do you notice here that God reveals enough of himself through creation that people who do not listen, they don't have any excuse either. Now, that's not to say that a person looking at creation can understand that Jesus Christ died for them and rose from the dead. God doesn't speak that truth through creation. He speaks enough truth that a person can realize there is a God, and I need to know who that God is. And when somebody wants to know that, they're going to find Jesus Christ who died and rose for their sins. But there is enough of God's voice in creation that we can recognize much about his power and deity. So through creation, here's another avenue of which God reveals us, generally speaking, or reveals himself to us through general means. Not only through creation, but he reveals himself through the conscience. Through the conscience, our conscience. Romans 2, 14 and 15 says this. Says, "For when Gentiles," and Paul was speaking specifically of unbelievers. Okay? When he said Gentiles. When Gentiles who do not have the law, they don't have God's written law. The one that was originally given to the Jews through Moses, and they don't have that. Of course, now you can apply that to the completed New Testament. Okay? This is all God's word, God's law. And he's saying those unbelievers who don't have the law, they don't have access to it, they've never read it, they're not aware of it. Does that mean that they're off the hook? They can live like sinners and they're still going to end up in heaven? No, not at all. Says, by nature, they do the things in the law. Now, that's interesting. By nature, meaning God created them in such a way that they're actually designed to worship God and follow him. The reason people don't is because they suppress the truth. Suppress means to push it out. But the truth is there. So, unbelievers who don't have access to the law get married. That's what we said this morning. Marriage is a universal concept that comes from God. Unbelievers stay married and believe it's important. And unbelievers love their children. They tuck their children in at night. Unbelieving dads teach their children, teach their boys how to live a life of integrity, to make sure their word means something. When they say they're going to do something, do it. Unbelievers raise very good citizens in their country. Unbelievers have work ethics, very good ones, quite often. Unbelievers live a life of honesty, choose to be honest. Unbelievers do all of these things, and these things are found in God's law. And how do they do them? They do them by nature. That is because the conscience God gave them tells them that's the thing to do. And so, verse 14 says, even though they don't have the law, they actually are a law unto themselves. God created them to be his law and to live that way. It says verse 15, who show the work of the law written in their hearts. That's where it is. People are created with God's law in them. Their conscience also bearing witness. And between themselves, their thoughts accusing or else excusing them. Do you know there are unbelieving judges sitting on the bench trying cases who you can trust? That's right. And the reason that is because those judges are living true to the conscience that God gave them and haven't suppressed it. That's why that is. That's why that is. God speaks morality through the human conscience. Morals are something that people have by God's creation and have to suppress them to get them out. They got to push them out. They don't want them there. When people suppress God's truth, Scripture says their conscience is seared, like a compass that no longer points north. They ruined it. Okay? But they have to work to ruin it. The antennas of their conscience don't work anymore, and they're not hearing the message that God speaks through their conscience. And so, the ultimate denial of this truth in today's culture is being called, by concept, a social construct. I mentioned that today, this morning. Social construct. Whereas the truth is, God has created us with certain morals in us that we have to push out. Social construct says, those morals were never there. You're a blank sheet. And society has pushed them in. And then you got to push them out again so you can start the way you were naturally. Like an etch-a-sketch. Just shake it loose and start all over. Social construct is a very successful lie of Satan. I believe all these lies that people buy into that suppress the truth probably have their roots in Satan. And this is the latest and greatest. Society has taught you that lying is wrong. It's really not. Society has taught you that there are boys and girls and people should get married and stay married, and physical intimacy should be only after marriage and not before. Society taught you that. There's actually nothing right or wrong with that. Why? Because there's nothing right or wrong. Oh, until you disagree with them, and then they tell you you're wrong. You see, they've seared their consciences. Praise God, and you should praise God if you have not. Or if you once had a seared conscience, but yet trusted Christ, and he has renewed you. Well, he has a way of doing that. So those are the two avenues by which we get general revelation, but neither creation nor the conscience gets specific enough to tell you, you need a Savior, and only Jesus Christ can meet that need. That's when we get from God special revelation. Okay, this is the second mode by which he reveals himself, and that is called special revelation, specific revelation. He gets very specific. How has God spoken specific revelation to us? Well, there's a few avenues there too. First avenue is from the Savior. John 1:18 says, "No one has seen God the Father at any time. The only begotten Son who is in the bosom of the Father, he has declared him the Father." Jesus has declared the Father. So Jesus, our Savior, spoke revelation from God. We don't have access to this special revelation today. Christ isn't here. But those who were with him, man, all those that followed him and listened to him preach, they were listening to the voice of God, literally speaking to them in words as audible as you're hearing my voice. Really incredible. And to think how many of them did not fully realize or appreciate that at the time. And after a while, it was really after the resurrection that it really came full circle in the mind of the apostles themselves. Peter wrote later, long after he woke up and really realized what he had, he said, "Man, I have seen things. I've touched, heard." He really appreciated the fact that he got to walk with and live with the Savior, Jesus Christ. Heard him preach, heard him teach, received special revelation through God the Son directly. Wow. So we don't have access to that today. You will. One day, you will hear Jesus' voice and receive revelation from him, just as sure as the disciples did, only you won't be a sinner when you do. So you'll take it all in. Another way through which God has spoken his special revelation is from the saints of the past. From the saints of the past. 1 Thessalonians 5:15, Paul said, "For this we say to you by the word of the Lord." By the word of the Lord. Saints of the past had special revelation from God, and they wrote it or they preached it in church. There were actually other believers besides the apostles who had the gift of revelation because the scriptures weren't done yet. And so God, in the early church, that first 100 years of the church age, God was giving special revelation through saints, okay? We don't have access to this today either. God's not giving special revelation today. There's a lot of people who would tell you he is. He is not, okay? The gift of revelation ceased. It ceased when the apostle John finished the book of Revelation. And once he finished that, wrote the very last word of the book, which is amen, the scriptures were closed, and God's not revealing anything else. Anybody that says they had a dream or they had a vision or God spoke to them or told them something, don't you believe it. That would be special revelation, and God's done with that. I had a charismatic pastor friend for a while, lived down the road, and he would stop by and visit me here in the office. Believer in Jesus Christ, salvation by grace through faith, okay, just like us, but he was charismatic. And he believed God is still revealing truth. He believes we're still apostles. He said, he wasn't one of them, but he's got a friend who's an apostle. And he told me, he said, your guys' church is in a really great spot here. Okay? Did you know that your church guards a gateway? I said, it does. Yeah, it guards a gateway. He says, I've seen the gate right there across the road from your parking lot. It's just a tremendous, huge gate that comes guards that road that way, and your church is on the corner guarding. That's fantastic. Wow. Now, I would love to see that. Okay? God told him when to pray and when not to pray. And God spoke to him all the time and showed him gates and showed him things. And I thought, he's definitely from the 60s because I don't know where he's getting this stuff. Okay, where do people see this stuff? God is not speaking that way. And after a while, the more he talked, the more he started to contradict what God has said. See, this is special revelation. And that is really the third and applicable avenue of special revelation today, and that is God speaks from the scriptures. Okay? From the scriptures. 1 John 5, 9-12. If we receive the witness of men, the witness of God is greater. For this is the witness of God, which he has testified of his Son. He who believes in the Son of God has the witness in himself. He who does not believe God has made him a liar, basically accused him of being a liar, because he has not believed the testimony that God has given of his Son. And this is the testimony. God has given us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. He who has the Son has life, and he who does not have the Son of God does not have life. Folks, it is not any clearer than that. You either have the Son of God, or you do not. And where do we get this? Through the scriptures. This is the testimony. The word testimony is also be translated a record. Here's the record right here. It is a written record. This is a special revelation that we have from God today, and this is it. This is all. I know our charismatic brothers and sisters believe God is still speaking and giving revealing truths in addition to the scriptures, but that is not what scripture teaches. Because scripture says this is it. It is sure and it's complete. And you can count on this. My professor, Dr. Manfred Kober, he was an old German, born in Germany. He was 12 years old when the Second World War broke out. His parents said, we got to get him out of here. We got to get him away from the Nazis. And they were able to successfully send him to America, where he became a naturalized citizen, got his theology degree at Dallas out in Texas, Dallas Seminary, and then taught at Faith Baptist Bible College. And he was old school European. Okay, you didn't ask questions in his class. You didn't raise your hand or anything like that. He lectured. You paid attention. And he tried to make it as hard as he could for you to pass his class. That's old school way of teaching. I couldn't stand his classes most of the time. But I didn't learn a lot. And this quote comes from him. I got this from him. He said, general revelation is sufficient to bring man under condemnation. Special revelation is needed to bring man to salvation. And when God speaks generally through creation and the conscience, and then he speaks specifically through the scriptures, those come together, and a worthless, hopeless sinner like me gets born again and gets saved. When God speaks, man, we better listen. Father, thank you again for speaking to us, for having spoken, and for still speaking through the creation around us, but even through your wonderful word. Lord, encourage us to get up every day and spend time in your word so that we can listen to what you have to say today. In Jesus' name, amen.